Wake up, folks. It's Andy Dick, and this is Addicted.
Inside the mind of Andy Dick, so many ways to turn. So take your pick. Inside the mind of Andy Dick. Addicted.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Why does everybody hang up like that? Is this a millennial thing? He's not even a millennial. And he hung up on me. They just hang up. They don't say bye, or I'll call you later, or I got something to do. They just hang up when they're sick of talking to me or when I'm starting to get to the bottom of it. Done. Anyways, my guest, and by the way, I can't even call him a guest. He's the doctor trying to take care of me. It's like I'm a guest in his session. I'm looking at Dr. Drew looking at me because I know he's trying to suss me up.
I got to meet you where you are, dude.
I've known him for how many years now? Like 25?
Oh, easily. Yeah, like 25.
Yeah, easily.
When was the Andy Dick show?
In 2000.
So way before that. Now,
really?
We're looking at 21 years. We were already friends at that point.
Yeah, I know. We drank together. You know that.
At that one party where you got kicked out. That's all I remember.
Okay. You always have to throw me under the bus.
I'm not throwing you under the bus. I'm just, that's how I remember that party.
It is true. Carried out. It's so embarrassing, dude. And you didn't help. You could have said, don't.
I didn't help. I didn't know what had happened, even. It all of a sudden,
either
where's Andy?
They
kicked him out. That girl he grabbed, she didn't like that. If this show is about what the F is wrong with Andy Dick, let's talk about what the F is wrong with Andy Dick, shall we?
Then hurry up, because I don't have time. I have to go do a movie in Vegas.
Yeah. Whoop, show's over. So why is sobriety so difficult for you? And I know you love alcohol, and I know you love getting jacked up, but it seems like there's something more goes on.
I don't know.
Because now you get pretty dark when you drink heavily now. It's not so fun anymore. The party's kind of over. So something else.
That's weird, because everyone else in my life says the same thing. They're like, there's a turning point when it just gets scary, and I don't want to be around you.
So what is the process leading to using? What kind of happens?
Look, let me start with, I'm never going to not drink or do drugs.
Well, that's what you're saying now. And sometimes you say that. And sometimes you say, oh my God.
I know. Because sometimes I start freaking out. Yeah. I'm like,
well, sometimes you say, I'm going to die if I do drugs.
I'm going to die. Yeah.
And I don't want to die. Therefore, I'm willing not to do it. I love it, but I'm willing not to do it. But I've never been there when you make that first move. You know what I mean? I've never been around you when that happens. And I always wonder what
It's always a relationship thing. It always is. And you know that.
Yeah.
You
know I thank you. I know that's your liability. That's your liability, sex and love addiction. And how come we don't get into that a little bit?
Go, doctor.
I could see the sex and love addiction working. For instance, whenever we say, Andy, no relationship for 1 year, right?
That's impossible. It's not going to happen.
So I know that there's the piece of addiction that keeps going.
Well, why would you do that to me? That's like putting me in prison.
To save your life.
He's so dramatic. And the Academy Award goes to Dr. Drew.
Yeah, I know that's so dramatic. That's my actual motivation. That's my actual reasoning.
So you think that I would die and how? Because of a relationship. Because of a relationship.
Why would I be interested in depriving you of something that makes you happy? Unless there was some really important reason to do so, right? Right. I want to see you happy.
That's not my question. Is how and why would I die?
Because you have. I've seen you in your deeper moments as your disease have progressed. You yourself have witnessed it and said, "I'm going to die one of these times soon." And I've watched how you don't follow direction around relationship. The relationships break up. You start to spin, and then you start to use.
Okay. Well.
No, it's so, no, it's not the figured it out part. It's the why.
I don't know what to do. I come on.
Hang on, you know, man.
Go ahead.
Saying that's why I'm willing to be an a-hole and tell you to do something that will make you unhappy. It's why I'm willing to take that position.
I'm sorry, but I'm 54, and at this point, you're right. I think things progressed. I've been talking to my kids about this and my lovers. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I am. I was concussed earlier this year. Bad. I died. Remember, I got knocked out in New Orleans, and I was in intensive care unit for 3 days. I don't know why I'm laughing.
I push stuff like that out of my mind because there's a many a dick story out there that I don't like to think about, and that's one of them.
I know.
But go ahead.
I don't know what's going on. I do feel like something. I have to accept it. Come on. What am I supposed to do? I can't change it. I can't turn it off. And don't tell me I can't be with somebody for. Are you out of your mind? That's what helps me.
I just said for a year. I just said for
funny. That would be horrible. That would make me kill myself. Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
No, it's not what I want. And if you went that way, we would reconsider the recommendation, obviously.
Okay, then let's get the second recommendation.
But that's what addicts do, right? I hear that all the time. Like, oh, you take the pot away from me. I'm just going to kill myself.
No, I actually, I never would. But what's your second? There's no way I can be alone for a year. There's just no fucking way. So get that out of the picture.
Can you think of other reasons why I might be interested in you learning to be alone? Just think about the reason why. In addition to it's breaking the patterns and all, what else might you benefit from that?
Staying away from evil people.
No, it's not just that. Think about what is it that the relationships give you that you need
love
that you can't
affection.
Do without.
Love and affection. I don't want to just sit at home on my laptop got stolen and watch porn all day.
Do you think your relationships have really been loving and intimate?
Sometimes.
Okay. But most of the time.
You're lucky you have Susan.
I am.
I know. She loves you so much. She's so good. Susan, are you there?
Thank you, Andy.
See? Thank you. And she helps me, to be honest with you.
Well, when you're using, though, you can get very mean to her. She doesn't know what to do with that. I'm used to what? That. Oh, you've been horrible. You've been horrible to her.
Really?
I was dead to you once.
Yeah, you're dead to me. You texted her.
That's what... No. I didn't know who it was.
I know.
She told you who it was, and you went, I don't care. You're dead to me.
No, I realized what was going on, and it wasn't... I didn't take it personally.
You know what? I'd like to say that's not true, but
you said you were going to block me.
She didn't take it personally because I was there coaching her up.
It's okay.
I can't believe I wish you recorded that because I don't believe you.
She has the text. It's text.
I'll send
text.
You the text. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, send me a Snapchat.
Send him screenshots and so we can make that accompany the show.
Send it now. I want to see it now. How have you been doing?
I don't dig the state of everything. I don't dig social media. I don't dig all the unrest.
You got
I don't
in trouble. Dig. You got in trouble for the COVID shit. You're like, you don't believe now. How do you, now you're gonna lie so you don't get in trouble again? But go ahead.
No. I said this is where I went over the when I went over the line is I called it a press hoax, and I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize. And I could see the press was creating panic porn. I could see what they were doing, and then I knew the reaction, what they were going to force the government to do, and force people to do.
Doing it.
Would, yes, would have horrible consequences, particularly on mental health. The suicide, substance, opiate, overdose will rival COVID.
And poverty. No, nobody is going to make money.
Poverty and economic disaster.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to go to fucking high hell.
That was what I saw coming. That was what I saw. Yeah,
that's what I've been telling
my
kids.
That was what I was pushing back on.
In our lifetime, you and I, have you ever seen anything like this?
No.
Never.
And I kept saying, just watch Fauci. He'll get you through this. Don't listen to the press. Just watch Fauci. Because Fauci is the reason I went on the radio in 1984. He's the reason.
I'm looking at your wife's texts between us now. Oh, my God. This proves it. I said, I don't know you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
I've been going through a fucking hell of a lot. Like, it's been hell.
Why? What's going on?
My first girlfriend earlier this year died. My second girlfriend.
What happened?
Overdose. Do you remember her? I don't. You didn't meet her. She was so beautiful. I was picking out rings to marry her. I really was.
Andy, I'm just, you know, when you don't prioritize the recovery, bad things happen. And she didn't prioritize her recovery, and bad things happened. And
her and I were like the Disney PG-13 version of Sid and Nancy. We would smoke pot and drink and, you know, occasionally yell at each other. But that's what, she moved to Brooklyn and started doing heroin again. Oh. That's how she died.
Again. It's a serious thing, man. And I'm telling you, this COVID has really put rocket fuel into the death rate.
Everybody. Yeah. The whole, like, do you get concerned? Because you guys have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get concerned for them?
Of course. I think they're good, but yeah, it could happen to anyone.
Your kids are good. So are mine, weirdly. I don't know how.
How are you with your son?
He was at my place last night. Everybody keeps coming over trying to hang out. I love it. See what's going on? That's part of, I was trying to tell you earlier, with this COVID thing, my shit went up. My career is kind of overwhelming, to be honest with you.
You up for it?
Well, I have to be. I feel responsible, like I really have to make money, you know?
I get that. You're handling three different.
You think I want him? No, I don't. So I'm not up
for it.
Aren't
you? It's like three different groups, right? Yeah,
what do you mean three different groups?
You have three different ladies and their families.
I have five kids, three of mine and two stepdaughters.
Where are we going, my buddy? What can I do to help?
Dr. Drew, do you see patterns since you've known Andy so long?
The pattern is worsening binges. Primarily around alcohol, that alcohol sort of taken over as the primary drug. More consequences from those binges, both physically and legally and medically and socially, and lots of consequences on all fronts. Longer periods of sobriety that are maintained when there's a structured environment. Remember, like Soba House, Andy? Yes.
Yes, but that's when I'm the most depressed.
So
can you let me just have a little fun, Dr. Dreher?
So rather than learning to regulate the emotions and learning to use other people to build that regulatory system, he launches on and acts out his love and sex addiction and does that serially until somebody hurts him and then he uses. Is that about right?
Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
And I feel like, you know, you've been, there was a, remember that therapist you had for an extended period of time? There was a guy that was starting to break down some of your defenses around abandonment, right. Which was a big issue.
And
right?
What did he say?
And you went back to drinking and left him.
I can't remember which one, so I don't know. Can I talk?
Yes.
I'm 54, like I said. And can I just live out my last few years of my sunset twilight hours of my years the way I want?
Didn't you ask me to be on this show?
Yeah.
And then didn't you ask me to talk about patterns?
Yeah. What?
And isn't this what the F was wrong with Andy Dick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking. Brandy, anything from your standpoint?
Well, I think that this is a lot for Andy. You know, we're hoping to help him.
Good fucking luck.
Andy's treatment is not about insight, intellectualizing, psychoeducation, none of these things. None of that
then
at
what
all.
What is it?
It's about structure and program, practice, and developing the capacity to be open to close contact with your sober peers and a therapist.
And taking away my sex for a year? You're fired.
Oftentimes, do not include the use of language, even. Language and intellect and insight and all that stuff, nothing. Now, he could also do CBT.
What's that?
It's another kind of treatment.
Wait, aren't we doing that?
It's essentially just trying to give insight. What it does is hopefully shift motivation to be able to do all the things I was just talking about.
Yeah, but what is it? Like, how do you do it or whatever?
You do it with a therapist who's trained to do it, and sometimes there's a workbook, and you look at your thinking.
You mean cognitive behavioral therapy.
CBT, yeah.
Do they give you acid or anything like that?
It's interesting you bring up hallucinogen therapies. That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. I mean, I might be desperate enough to think about that with you.
I tried it 2 weeks ago. I got acid, and I took I was trying to microdose every day.
Yeah, to go.
And then, you know, I was feeling good, but then it went south. And I'm like, I'm never going to do acid again.
Good. That's not really what I'm talking about, but
what?
Okay. I'm
trying to fucking fix myself too.
Well, you can't fix yourself, right? You have to have other brains to fix a brain. And, you know, I was thinking more about plant-based trauma therapies that some people are sort of skilled with. I'm desperate.
What's that? Mushrooms?
And sometimes they use that. There's a lot of things out there that people are using. But
you just said I can do mushrooms, so I'm doing them tonight.
No, I didn't say that. I said I'm desperate.
I'm doing them, so
I'm looking for stuff to accelerate the process here.
You're not talking about him doing it on his own.
No, I know. I couched it by saying brains do not cure themselves. They need other satellite central nervous systems to heal. You do not go it alone. It does not work. Many have tried before. It does not work. Left to your own devices, that brain will end up doing the same behaviors and the same.
But I'm always alone. So what am I supposed to do?
You're supposed to get back in the program.
How?
Do the do, get the basics, things you've done in the past. Not cling to people and relationships.
Let me ask you something. Would you agree with me that there is no helping me? And because that's what I came to in the last couple months. I'm like, at this point, fuck it. There's no helping me. I'm fucking done. And
all right. So the fuck it's, I call that the fuck it's. And the fuck it's are very dangerous for addicts, right? Because it becomes an excuse to go use and whatever. It is, of course, true that the addict has to desire recovery, have to want to get well. The question is, how do you get somebody to shift that motivation to be able to see what they need, want it, and want to sustain it? And that's if we had a really, you know, sort of a pill that would create that, we'd win a Nobel Prize, right? So you have to wait for people to get the motivation on their own. Now, there are motivational enhancement techniques to help people get there, and CBT can be part of that.
CBT thing, can you explain that a little more? I still don't get it.
Let's take a look at, like, you know, when you drink, what does that do for you? And what's the process? And how do you feel?
Relaxes me.
Yeah. And is that really really where you want to be. I'm not trained in CBT, so I'm not very good at it.
Well, what is it? Is it a pill?
It's a therapy process.
Is it like cannabis or?
No. It's like talking with somebody.
I'm in a horrible relationship that, I don't even know what the fuck to do.
And he's mistreating you?
I don't even want to tell you, but yeah, he hit me. So far,
all the good choices you've made.
Okay.
How's that going?
How many thumbs do you got? Well, that's how it's gone, okay?
Maybe you could make a change, do something different. You know how to do it. How about we end that relationship? How about we start there?
I'm trying to. I really am trying to. I really am.
Okay.
How do you... Give me a suggestion on how to end it. Because I blocked him. I've blocked him, but then I unblock him. Then I block him. I don't call him. I don't pick up. Then I pick up. Then I see him. Then I don't... You know, what? Do you have anything?
Deal with him like you would deal with any drug you're trying to quit. Okay?
Meaning what?
Meaning block all contact, block everything, don't pick up the calls, do what you're doing.
You know. Him.
I know. You love alcohol too. You need to stop that also. And the fact is, it's like another drug. And you should be going to SLA.
No. I went to one meeting. It's called Sex and Love Anonymous, is what SLA is. I went to one meeting, and everyone there is a sex and love addict. And I was just looking around going, God, everybody wants to fuck. Who am I going to fuck?
You know, you were in a series. Remember that series Love you were in? With that was a very good exploration
Gillian,
of your problems.
Yeah.
With Gillian, yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
That was a very, very, very good exploration of your problem.
Meaning what?
Her journey was actually really well crafted.
She landed it hard.
I know. I've never seen an actress really nail the ambivalence, the self-loathing, all that stuff. The shame, the embarrassment, she got it all. Oftentimes, one of the important things for somebody with addiction is that everybody around him or her go to Al-Anon and get their own sponsor because the dance changes once you either have a therapist or an Al-Anon sponsor. The model I like to tell everybody is that, you know, the plant and the little shop of horror is a perfect model for addiction, right? The Audrey 2. What happens with Andy when you go in the room with the Audrey too?
It grows and grows and grows. It eats you.
It eats you, no matter what. No matter what, you go near the plant, you go in. Yep. Unless what?
You kill it.
No, well, there's that. unless somebody pulls you back. Somebody has to be there holding you out of the plant, and that's Al-Anon therapist.
You got to come up with something better than me going back to meeting.
No, I'm not telling you to go to Al-Anon. I'm telling everybody around you to go to Al-Anon.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you to go back to what we know works for you, but
I'm
do
fine.
It all,
I don't even know why people think I have a problem.
But now that was the funniest thing you've said all day.
It was such a lie
that's
too.
Truly funny, Andy. Man, woo. So
I think I'm doing great.
That was funny. But we know what works. And not only does it work for you when you're doing it three quarters of the way. I'd like to see you do it all the way.
I love Little Shop of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors, Little Shop of Horrors. We can't. Copyright infringement. Yeah.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians, for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
So I'm doing this horror movie And by the way, you asked me this earlier, and I'm going to answer it again in case you didn't hear me. I really don't even want to fucking go. I'm getting to, I'm at a weird point in my life where I just don't want to do shit.
I get that. And but you're, at least you've got some stuff going on with your career and all, and you're going to have to attend to some stuff to be able to do that, right?
Or die. No, I know. That's where you think I'm threatening you with suicide. I'm not.
No, I don't think you are. I think that you saw your girlfriend die of her disease, and you know this is a fatal illness.
Oh, I don't do heroin, and hers, by the way, it was fentanyl.
Yeah, that's a bad. You've never seen anybody die of alcoholism? You've never seen that?
Mm-hmm. Why? What? Okay.
Just saying.
He's so funny. He's good. Dr. Drew is good. Look at him.
We're only here to help.
Can I tell you something? Thank you so much. I realize I sometimes don't tell people how much I love them or respect them, and I really do.
You're actually pretty good at that. You're actually pretty good at that.
That's gonna make me cry.
And there is only one Andy Dick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I want everyone else to hear that. There will be other models again.
Well, let's keep it alive and kicking.
I was just about to say, well, then you're going to be sad when I'm dead by Saturday. I was just kidding when I say that.
Brandy, where else should we go with this?
I agree with you. There's no reason to go round and round.
Andy.
Oh, here he goes. Producer.
It's a therapy. I'm being serious. You have a doctor that's one of the best in the country that's known you forever. And if you want to take it seriously, now's the time. Am I saying anything wrong, Dr. Drew?
No. And he knows exactly where to go and what to do.
Yeah. And he knows me. And he knows, Dr. Drew knows, I'm taking it seriously. I don't want to take shit or bullshit, you know? And he's, Dr. Drew doesn't bullshit. That's why
I don't bullshit. I don't disparage you for what you're doing. I just know it doesn't go well. If it went well, if what you were doing was good and worked and adaptive
and
resilient, I'd be like, Andy, you go. Well, keep that sex and love addiction going. Keep using. Keep those abusive relationships escalating. This will be great. Things will go so well. But no.
Look, no. I'm listening to him. I've known him for 25 years. I'm listening to him. And
Andy.
What?
You're listening to me, but you're not going to do anything. Let's be honest.
Don't tell me to go to fucking Al-Anon or AA or SLA. What do you want me to do? I know what you... I already know.
Yeah, that's right. You'll do anything except what you need to do.
No. I'm probably getting to that point where I need to do that.
Anyway, we can find him a CBT therapist.
I found somebody.
Oh, God damn it. See? They're always putting me in therapy. Oh, God. Okay, fine. I'll do it.
That would be great.
Is it like a is there a spa where they give you a massage as well?
No, no spa, no sex, none of those things you like. And maybe I don't know that you've really had this, so maybe it will work.
Susan, are you still there? I need you.
Yeah, man.
Hi. Can you chime in, please? I need backup because I always feel like everybody gets against me and I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, if I was you and I felt like, you know, everybody was like coming down on me, I'd say, you know what? It wouldn't kill me just to go to one AA meeting and just sort of go into your zen and then
be done talking to you.
You can't, nobody's going to make you do it. So you got to do what you got to do. But I still love you.
I love you too. Let me go back to my friend, Dr. Drew.
Oh, Susan's not your friend?
No, she's my friend too. I just hate that everyone says the same thing. I've tried that, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
For years. I remember the first time I went to an AA meeting, Chris Farley took me. Okay. Are you listening? Sat me down next to him in the middle of the group. I can see him in my mind's eye, what he was wearing. He had a suit on, and he raised his hand to share and stood up and shared. And then he died.
Mm-hmm.
The end of that story. Like, see how AA
Okay, so Andy,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you some online meetings if you don't want to go. Because I just interviewed the guy from Basildon. Just why don't you just try one? Just you'll be the life of the party. Everybody will love that you came.
No.
All right, so you're gonna start with some CBT.
Okay,
which is good. Have you ever taken Vivitrol injections? Have you ever taken Vivitrol?
What's that?
It's an injection you take every month that can maybe help some of the drive to use. Maybe.
What does it do?
It's naltrexone, essentially.
Vivitrol.
Blocks your opiate system. It blocks the drive to use a little bit.
Oh, really? So you want to turn me into a zombie? This is what I don't like.
I'm thinking of alternative things to sort of...
No pills. I don't take pills.
I'm just trying to get... Think of ways you haven't tried.
I'll do that. I'll do that CBT thing. CBT with a T? I'll do that. I just don't think anything's going to help. And I don't even know why I say help, because I feel like I don't need help. I think I'm doing great. I know you guys don't.
I like the broader statement. You don't understand why anybody would be concerned about you. That goes more to it. Well, Brandy, let me know how the CBT goes. And the Vivitrol is pretty easy to come by.
So they inject it, what, in your fucking asshole? And then what?
Not in your asshole, but in your ass. Yes.
And then what? And then it's just...
It's once a month.
I'm open to doing that, but I already know what it's going to do. It's going to turn me into a fucking zombie.
Zero effect on you emotionally or your mental status. Zero. It just makes the alcohol less rewarding.
Oh, why would I want that?
Well, here we go around again.
Isn't he the best? He's the best. He's trying to get to it, and I'm listening.
It won't affect your acting. It won't affect anything. It's a bit to get, though, get your hands on.
How? Why? Is it illegal?
Because it's expensive, and you have to see if your insurance will cover it and all that kind of stuff.
Mine will.
That's why I don't recommend it a lot. It's like $600 an injection, and I could do a lot with $600.
That's fine.
It just changes the biology enough to help some people through it. And I personally believe way too much is made of craving, because craving oftentimes it's what motivates people to go to meetings. They know that they're craving and they got to do something. It's the people that have it all together that go, I don't need any of this. I'm fine. I'll never drink again. I don't even think about it. That's the kind of the worst case. The people that are going, oh, I sure would like to drink. You know, I better call my sponsor.
And which one am I?
I don't know exactly. What you tell me?
You're still trying to figure it out after 25 years.
You're a little sort of in between, I think. But it's interesting.
Gray area.
Yeah, you're in the gray. You're always different.
I love you, buddy. I'm so glad you came on. And for real, I'm so glad you came on. You gave me a lot to think about. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the stupid fucking show. I love this guy so much. Thank you, buddy, for being on.
All right, my pleasure.
Hey, Dr. Drew, why don't you tell people how they can listen to your show?
Yeah.
For me, just go to drdrew.com or Facebook.com/Dr. Drew or YouTube.com/Dr. Drew. We do a stream there every day called Dose of Dr. Drew. Me and Adam do a show. I do a show called After Dark. All that stuff is at drdrew.com.
Adam?
Adam Carolla and I
really?
Do a show 3 days a week, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. That's where Adam we fucking Drew. First met.
On Loveline, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. You know what it was?
Remember
it was the Ben Stiller show.
Yep, the whole cast.
So that would have been like 1987 or something, or 88?
I How don't crazy remember. Is that, man? But wow, is Adam still married?
Yeah.
Great, you guys are all doing great.
All right, guys, see you later.
Love you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Inside the mind of any day, so many ways to turn. So take your pick inside the mind of Andy Dick.
If you are in the United States or Canada and struggling with anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, or a crisis of any kind, please text HOME to 741-741, and a crisis counselor will respond to you right away, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Text HOME to 741-741. And to find more resources and support for addiction, visit addictedpodcast.com/resources or read the show notes of this episode. Please know you are not alone and recovery is possible. It's never too late. Reach out and get help now.